To start it off, I understand we don't have that much time. Like Sam, thank you so much for doing my podcast, man. Mainly because I've been rocking with you for a while since Last Comic Standing, since Americans Got Talent. More frequently, YKWD, and now you got.
Yeah,
Oh
I've known
yeah.
Hen forever, man.
I mean,
YKWD.
yeah, but you got your own now, nah, Keeping Joe.
Yes.
And you guys seem like to have a lot of fun on there. And now you're here, so slobberingly grateful. Thank you. There's no real ending to that question, but thanks for being on the podcast.
No problem.
Oh man, like I like your comedy. It's such like almost natural, but it's like in that weird dark humor world. Was
Right.
it clear since childhood you wanted to be a comedian? Was it like the signs you like the class clown or some shit like that? Oh, you can
Yeah.
cuss. I forgot. You can swear. You can do
I
whatever.
wasn't searching for a curse.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was. I think you find ways, like when you're like your kid, you do stuff to get attention, you know? At least in my case, and I was in like a blended family, so there was some awkwardness. And it wasn't really addressed, so in school I could kind of just get attention,
Got it.
you know? And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I think it's all like every comic, I think it just goes to their childhood,
Okay,
to why
okay.
they are the way they are. Every person, not just comic.
Like a lot of the hype that you got early on, and I guess now, is about your more writing prowess. Do you find yourself to be more of a writer than performer, or is it just kind of like blending in?
Yeah, I think like if you're writing a lot of jokes as a comic, you're usually more of a writer than a performer in your head, right? Because you spend time at a laptop or like thinking a joke. So yeah, I think of myself more as a joke writer, and then I work on the performance stuff. I do so many sets, and now it's just like, well, I'm not really like, I don't think about performing. I'm just kind of myself up there, and I've just found like a comfort.
Is it kind of blending in because, like, you're right there in New York, you're welcome at the Cellar, you're going to Stand, various places in New York, and then does it have more of a, I guess, where the worlds of writing and performance blend in, or do you just still kind of see yourself as that writer who just getting a chance to perform?
No, I mean, I don't really break it down like that. I just think of myself as a comic because, it's both. It's like, we're watching basketball now. It's like, do you think of yourself as like a, defensive player and offensive player? It's like, well,
You're
you
going
got to
to
be
do one
both.
or the
You
other.
got to be both if you want to do it, right? So, yeah, the writing you can work at while not being on stage. For me, it wouldn't feel natural to work at performing off stage because it's not like acting in comedy. You're supposed to be yourself, so you're kind of performing to what's honest. You're kind of performing to what's honest in the room. So you can work on writing, you can't really work, or I can't work on performing.
Okay. I mean, like, you're pushed every night when you get up there because you're in front of, like, fucking legends. Like, I mean, like, some of the people who work out in the places you are going, like, I mentioned the Cellar, the Stand, and shit like that. And you're usually in front of, like, the legends, like, Attell, Louis, Post, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, like, hey, hashtag me too and all that other shit. But like, if you like pre everything and Dave Attell, Chris Rock, I'm just running out of names
Kid
at this
Rock, one of
point.
my favorite comics,
Yeah, but like, do you have those nerves or is it just kind of like Tuesday?
No. Yeah, like when someone's watching, you're definitely more in your head. Like, but that goes back to the mics, right? When comics are watching, you feel like they see you on a level that the crowd doesn't. I mean, it's like performing, if you're a magician doing magic in front of magicians, they're kind of like, I see the fucking trick, you know? Whereas, like, you're working for people, it's a little less stressful.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Speaking of stressful, I mean, just the climate we in today when it comes down to comedians, like I said previously, you're sort of on the darker side of jokes. Do you care about PC culture at all, or is it just kind of like laugh or don't laugh?
I don't know what you mean, like, care about it. I don't, like, what do you mean, care about PC
Like, does
culture?
it affect what you do? Like, when you write, or just like, oh, I better not say this because this, people will get mad, or I better not say this.
Someone's mad about everything. Every angle you take, if you take a bold angle on anything, someone's going to be mad. So just do what's funny. Just go for what's going to be funny, because you can always defend funny. You can't always like, I feel like my views on the world are changing all the time, but my views on what's funny is usually pretty consistent. So
that's what's up. That's what's up. Now, as far as, like, you talked about what's funny and what's not, and you always reach back in the bag when it comes down to family or something like that.
Yeah.
Have they reached out to you? Because...
What do you mean?
I have your album.
What do you mean?
Does somebody say, like, Sam, you shouldn't have said that, or this, that, and the third, or some way from, like, close-knit to you feel...
Oh, like, offended. They're
upset
what I said?
If you make
said?
A joke about them, yeah.
Yeah, I did a joke. I did a story about, in my half-hour special on Comedy Central, I did a story about leaving lunch early with my mom and dad to get a blowjob. And the whole story is, like, I lied to my mom that I was going to an acting audition. And my mom's, like, a big part of the story. Like, she ends up calling and stuff to see how the audition went, you know?
Yeah.
It's a long story, but anyway, my mom was not thrilled to be, you know, a supporting player in a fellatio story.
Wait, was that her first time hearing the joke? Like, her,
well, I wasn't
hearing...
telling it at the dinner table.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just like, she just woke up one day, I wonder what's on Comedy Central. And then hear about how...
No, she knew I had a special. She didn't just stumble across. She didn't just stumble across it. No, so she wasn't thrilled, but it's like, I told her, like, come on. Like, I feel like if you're going... If you're doing a certain type of bit, your mom should not like it. And if she did, I probably wouldn't be honest enough about the story. So.
I'm curious, how did that conversation end up?
Because my mom, she just kind of, I think her friend told her it was really funny, and she just kind of was like, well, I'll take her word for it. She's not going to find it funny.
Is there a line? I got no worries.
A line?
Yeah.
I feel like you're really trying to dig for something that's
not
here.
I swear to Christ, I'm not.
That my mom said to me? No, I think... No, she just... I see her in the crowd sometimes. She would come to shows and just, like, put her head down, like, embarrassed. I'd be like, well, you don't have to come.
Okay. No more inter-family questions. Because I'm not trying to dig for nothing. It's just sort of like... It just seemed like there would be, like, okay, I could talk about the time I got a blowjob, but I can't talk about the time you did XYZ.
No, I think they just, I don't think anything is, like, they've ever just told me is off limits. I think they just kind of, there's stuff that she doesn't want to hear, and look, I'm her son, I understand it.
I got that. Now, I got to ask this, because as a Pistons fan,
right,
you are a Knicks fan. And we talked a little bit about this off mic. May I ask why? Why did you just take the pilgrimage like everyone else to, like, the Brooklyn Nets, and you just wrap it up?
Why I can't just leave the Knicks. I'm a Knicks fan.
And currently,
it's not like it's been a smooth pilgrimage. They're in, I think, worse shape than the Knicks.
I mean, like, we had 2008. Last time you guys had something that was...
2008, when you won?
Yeah.
Wasn't 2004?
Hold on, wait. 2004, 2008 was the playoff.
Yeah, you didn't win that. The Celtics won 2008.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing my math. Granted, I've been drinking a little bit today. But I will say this. You guys are the 70s. We talked a little bit off mic when you talked about the stuff. We talked about Starks.
Right.
We talked about Oakley. Did you have a vibe about Oakley with that whole bullshit that happened earlier this year, or... Was
last
just,
year,
when he
I was at the game. It sucked. It was
Wait, you were there?
Yeah. It was a bummer. I mean, all you can say is it's a bummer. You're like, I love the 90s Knicks. I love Oakley. I love Ewing, Starks, Mason. Like, they were, like, what it's all, like, they made it fun to watch basketball. They played like they cared about us, so they were such a... It was an easy team to rally behind. It was like, you don't mind losing when you have a team that great. Like, obviously losing hurts, but when you lose with such character, it's better than anything else it's been in a long time.
Like, so. My favorite version of the Knicks, and maybe this is my age showing, but this is, I got to say, 94, you had Starks, Ewing, Oakley, pretty much, and then they just pretty much dominated. They made it to... Eastern Conference Finals only to be beaten off some bullshit. And I'm not a Knicks fan, but you know, like, I can admit, like, all right, you guys got hope.
People wanted the Knicks to win. I think because, like, they know that New York's a big basketball city, and then also they just couldn't really catch a break. So I think people wanted the Knicks to win. So I think there's, like, this hole that is in New York that from not having won there, and people know it. So I think non-fans are like, they think the Knicks deserve a team, and I think they're right. We have good fans.
Yeah, but you guys got a lot of homegrown potential that always ends up going somewhere else. Like, we look at the new guys. Rutgers generate at least two or three great people that ends up going somewhere else, or I mean, like,
yeah, they got to hold on to Porzingis. You just got to hold on to the right people.
Can you hold your hat on Porzingis without help? Like Melo,
no, but no one can do without help. Look, we're watching the game right now. The Sixers, Embiid's got Simmons and Saric and Covington and all these, you know, JJ Redick, all these good players around him. No, everyone needs help. Like the idea that, I mean, LeBron's the only one who doesn't have help, and even he has Kevin Love. I mean,
yeah.
So we're talking about help. I mean,
fun fact, JJ Redick has to be about 60 years old.
I think he's like 34.
I mean,
he's
like,
that old.
I mean, Jesus, he's been there since he was what, 19?
I think you're wrong. I think didn't he do all 4 years at Duke?
No, he got in there young. Granted, fact check me. Feel free to
fact check
me.
You.
Break out your phone. JJ Redick has been around the league on three teams off the top of my head. Did he do all 4 years?
He was on the Magic, the Bucks, the Clippers, and now. So he's been on at least four teams.
I know he did a little bit of a bend. You mentioned the Clippers, right?
Yeah, this is probably not good podcast material.
Yeah, I don't care. At this point, I just want to know for my own edification. I will edit this out if it need to be, but I just got to know.
I don't know. I think he did all 4 years. I can't find it.
Fuck it. Tweet me.
Yeah, he did. He did all 4 years. Yeah.
All right, cool. But as always, man. All right, crystal ball in front of you.
Yeah.
Who taking it all?
You can't bet against the Warriors, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't want them to win, but I think they're going to.
They're too strong. That bench is so deep to the point where
when JaVale McGee starts playing amazing, you're like, well, no other team has a shot.
Well, yeah, because they let you just do your thing. They pass the ball, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. Everyone else has. Unfortunately, they're setting the tone for the rest of the league to play their game.
It's just a bummer because I feel like it would have been even, but Durant just, like, he changed the league. He just, by making that move, I'm shitting on Durant as I'm wearing his sneakers, I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's kind of annoying.
But he followed the LeBron fucking, the blueprint.
Yeah, but LeBron didn't go to the team that beat him in seven games.
Okay, I give you that.
It wasn't like they swept him. They beat him in seven games. You know, that's what bugged me about the Durant move. Obviously, look, you can go wherever you want, but, like, we get to critique you for it. And, LeBron did suck, too. It's not what you want the league to be. But
that friends and family bullshit, that's what we're seeing now.
It's just, like, beyond super team. I mean, this is, like, those four guys, like, put them against anyone in, like, the world. It's, like, get a team against those guys. They play so well together.
All right, it's final question. I know you're a hoop head, and I want to get back to the playoffs like anybody else. You think LeBron leaving this year?
I don't think he knows yet. That would be my guess. I don't think he knows what he's going to do until the playoffs are said and done. I think if they lose in the first round, he's definitely gone. I think if they lose, if they don't make it out of the East, I think he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Second part to that question.
I don't know where he's going, though, because everyone's
there we go.
Philly.
All right.
We're looking Philly. I don't think he fits because I think he and Simmons play really similar games, and obviously LeBron's a much better version of him. But it's like, and I think that was the problem is, like, LeBron, even with the Heat, I don't think they won right away because, for many reasons, it's hard to win. But
yeah, they couldn't jail. They couldn't jail that first year.
But I think Wade and LeBron were so similar. Their games are so similar, and then that's kind of why it didn't work this year is because Wade is older, and it's like you can get past those flaws when you're both just so good it doesn't matter.
But when you're playing best friend ball, what they're doing, when that little...
Well, your games have got to be different, right?
Exactly.
It's like casting all your best friends. It's like me casting all my friends who are just joke guys in a sitcom. We need an act-out guy.
Exactly. I mean, like, when you saw him in Cleveland, they're playing best friend ball. Hey, I could do this, you could do this. And when I train together and I eat together and I do all of this stuff, we're going to feed into each other, consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah. Totally.
So, as always...
I don't think he's going to... I think he's going to go... I won't say in the Lakers, which I don't think so. I think that's a dumb move.
Smart money on me, I say to Houston. They're just going to just...
Well, look, that's... In terms of the team, you can't go wrong there. That's...
They got the money. They got the squad.
I don't think
you
they
got Chris
the money.
Paul.
Huh? They got Ryan Anderson. They got some big contracts. But they, I'm sure, like, when you get LeBron, you'll figure it out.
Man, they're going to figure it out. I see... If anything, I see them... The only... My three teams, I see them going. Lakers, Houston... And if they're feeling it, Clippers, because it looks like the Clippers, all they're doing is just lowering
they
the cap
no
anyway.
One, no. They got no one. That's the problem with the Lakers. They don't have, I don't think, the team.
And that's kind of the point. You got rid of everybody to get LeBron.
We'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. But, Sam, as always, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Slobberingly grateful for being on the podcast. We finally got
Blake
together.
Griffin and Drummond and everybody.
Look, man, let's...
Seriously, that's not, you know, it's
dude. We traded defense to get Blake.
Yeah,
we traded the concept of defense to get Blake Griffin.
Right.
Anyone who's worth a goddamn playing defense.
I love Avery Bradley, but he's injured, so I think it's worth the risk to get Blake.
Well, at the same time, he wasn't injured when we traded him. That was just kind of like a byproduct. But we had him on a 1-year deal anyway, so he wasn't going.
Right.
Who we should have traded is Reggie Jackson.
Yeah,
Reggie Jackson.
He's been. Up and down.
Up and that is the most political, nicest way to say. Reggie Jackson.
Well, he's had some moments earlier this year. He looked good, I thought.
Yeah, in preseason in October.
Right.
And then ever since then, he just sort of like, all right, you guys got this, right? And then.
Yeah, I think the problem is the league is too point guard rich right now.
Yeah.
And he, when they signed him, it was a good deal, and now
yep.
there's too many good point guards.
The only plus side about us having Blake, now that we stuck with him for the next 5 years, is the fact that the paint is safe. Him and Drummond in the paint is safe.
We'll see. I like what Blake's done to his game. He shoots threes now and stuff. I think he's kind of interesting. So
he's
gotten better every year. I like Blake.
But we're not getting a Blake from... 5 years ago. We're not getting a Blake jumping over cars,
but that's probably good, man.
Is it?
Yeah, because you don't want that guy anymore because that guy is going to get injured. That guy was always injured. If he can kind of become like a three-point shooter he was a great passer, he can – maybe he – I'm hopeful for him because I think he's, you know – he's a comedy fan. I met him once. He was really nice. So I'm just saying
– like, I'm hopeful, but, like, I'm realistic.
I mean, I'm not really hopeful. I don't like the Pistons, you know.
Oh, come on!
Why would I mean, I liked the team that won. That was a cool team. But
I mean, look, it's hard to like our guys. We're in the same problem with you guys, with the Knicks. We're in this perpetual rebuilding year.
The Blake thing feels a lot like the Amari move the Knicks made. I think it'll be, like, great for a couple of years, and then, like, if injuries come, it could be a problem. So, I mean, I'm rooting against – you don't want to see a guy get
injured. Shit, we don't have a chance. We don't have a choice because
that
we gave up all those draft
dunk.
Picks. God, that would have been great. All right, let's just end it right here.
Talk to you, man. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks so much, Sam.
All right.